Welcome to the new series of the Influential Women podcast, where we have some incredible, inspiring guests that make us think differently about our own mindset, our day, or even our life. But today I have a very different and special interview. For the very first time on our Influential Women podcast, I am chatting to a man, to a male guest, to celebrate and dedicate this episode to International Men's Day. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential man today is Dr. Jerome Tilaksingh. Hello and welcome, Jerome.
Hello to all your listeners, Nikki, and I'm very honored to be here today and very honored to be the first male guest.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much for your time, and I hope I've pronounced your name properly because you've got an incredible name. And it's an honour to talk to you and to talk to a man on our Influential Women podcast. And there's some very special reasons we'll come on to. But Jerome, you're over in Trinidad and Tobago, and I'm very jealous. How has the last year been for you over there?
It has been a bit hectic, you know, with the pandemic. We have everything online. We are in a state of emergency, just as other countries. So we are coping, you know, but I mean that we are very hopeful. You know, we have the same problems as everywhere else.
Amazing. It's really uniting, isn't it, with the world? But it to us, it sounds far more idyllic in this crazy world, you know, to have your gorgeous scenery and sunny, you know, perceived sunny lifestyle and be near the beach that others dream about. Is that how it's been?
It has been, you know, the beaches. You know, we have been famous in the Caribbean for that. And I know that we attract the tourists because of those, you know, the beaches and the lifestyle, you know. So I agree with you. You know, it seems like a paradise. Sometimes, you know, abroad seems like a paradise when we have problems here in the Caribbean. It works both ways sometimes.
Of course. No, I totally get that. And obviously without the tourists, you know, and the economy and losing a lot of income is very troubling for you too. But how fabulous to be able to talk to you. Now we are all working from home and remotely through the computer, and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon for me. And what is it, 8 o'clock in the morning for you?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock in the morning. And I hope I'm not interrupting your lectures, but it's seriously exciting to introduce you as the very first man on our Influential Women podcast. How does that feel?
I am really delighted. You know, I feel like a trendsetter. I feel that, you know, that I am breaking new ground. So I'm really glad, and I hope that I wouldn't be the last. I hope we could have other good men out there coming in, you know.
Oh, bless you. You certainly are a trendsetter, and in more ways than once, and for a very special reason. And I need a bit of a drum roll. I might be able to add that as a sound effect after, because I want to mention to our listeners that, you know, you are the actual founder of the International Men's Day, as celebrated now in November, and had the official inauguration, the only man that's managed to unite all of the world and bring it together on one date. I mean, that's fantastic. Huge congratulations. How on earth did you do that? Because so many other countries tried, didn't they? You know, with different degrees of success. But you managed to break ground and actually make this happen for men and boys.
I think that what was very fortunate for me was the fact that it came at a time when I believe the world wanted a global medium to heal the world. I think it was a time when people were depressed. They wanted hope. The lonely needed some faith. The brokenhearted needed comfort. We had barriers to transcend. There were stereotypes to be eliminated. We needed a more caring humanity. So I think that the idea found a fertile ground to grow. You know, the time was ready. The time was right. So it was, you know, I think the timing, yeah, the timing of this idea, the timing of this concept, and the support I received from men's organizations, you know, really pushed this whole movement.
Oh, I think it's incredible. You know, you must be so proud that you've made history uniting the world for men and boys. And in fact, you're a history academic lecturer making history. So that's fabulous as well, isn't it?
It is. It's a bit ironic.
It is. I mean, there's lots of ironies because I was fascinated by the meaning of your name. So I looked up the name yesterday. And I don't know if you've read this. I was going to surprise you here. I was really interested to see with everything you do to unite the world, to help mankind and womankind. Have you seen, it says that your name, Tilaksingh, is a person who is full of love, creating harmony and balance for anyone who's lucky enough to become your friend. It says that you bring people together for a common cause, seeing both sides of a coin, which lets you constantly find new perspectives to solve and strive for balance, and that people around you feel safe because you give them joy, and giving joy is one of your greatest gifts. And I just thought, my goodness, with what you've done for the world and uniting men and how humble you are in terms of wanting to bring people together and help women too. Isn't that brilliant that your name is so true to what you do? Incredible. Have you heard that before, that meaning?
I haven't heard that meaning. You know, I just assume my parents gave me a name and I just went about with it. You know, I didn't know.
Really? You've never heard what it means?
No, I never knew.
Oh, my goodness. So that's giving you some magic back then, hopefully.
You learn something new every day.
Oh, my goodness. How amazing. Sometimes, you know, traditionally, a people's name used to be what they did, didn't it? And it truly is. And I think, oh, isn't that fabulous that you haven't heard it? But you actually joined the world together in 1999, wasn't it? 22 years ago. And you had an official inauguration. What did that mean? Did you have a ceremony or how did you unite everyone?
We had a small observance in Port of Spain, capital of Trinidad and Tobago. But in later years, I encouraged countries to come together and have their own separate observances. And we had a small team with members from England, Australia, United States, you know, coming together to brainstorm and find out how we could develop relevant themes, relevant topics, and how we could get rid of some of the problems, the barriers, you know, that we face every day. You know, so it's not just a one-man effort. It has been a more global effort.
Wow. And globally, in 80 countries it's in now, isn't it, to celebrate on November the 19th?
Correct. This year, we're actually up to 92.
Up to 92. Wow, that's brilliant. And you began celebrating it originally in history. It began in February, didn't it? And the Australians were involved and the Maltese were the last association to switch over and join that date. Did you come up with that date or that was led by the Australians?
I came up with the date for two reasons. It's my dad's birthday on November the 19th and I see him as a role model and he has been a role model in the community. And I felt, you know, if I could use my dad as a role model, there are other people out there who could use their dad or grandfather or uncle or big brother. And it was also a day in 1989 when our football team lost to the United States in a World Cup game, a World Cup qualifying. As you would know, World Cup sport like cricket and soccer or football is a unifying force. The whole sport is, even when you think about the Olympics.
Definitely.
So I felt that day encouraged so much unity. November the 19th, 1989, I wanted to remember that day. You know, so it has a double significance.
Oh, that's really special. And you know, a lot of people won't be aware of that. And that you are the founder of this incredible day. And is your dad still able to share this?
He is still much alive and very excited. You know, the only problem is that on that day, I'm only able to spend a few hours with him because I have these interviews and broadcasts coming.
So busy now. And he can join the interviews and everything with you. And how old is he now? Am I allowed to ask?
He will be 80 years, 80.
Bless him. Oh, isn't that lovely? And that's really humbling and really special that you've dedicated that to him and that awareness, you know, to men and boys and the role modelling, as you say, you know. And I think the world doesn't need to be so divisive. And I think hopefully, if nothing else in COVID and post-pandemic, we've all shared some suffering together and the similar problems. And then, you know, we're all people, human, and become more human, hopefully. So there's a beautiful quote that I read online on how you described what International Men's Day actually means to you and for you. So here is what Dr. Jerome Tilak Singh, the founder of International Men's Day from Trinidad and Tobago, said about International Men's Day, which we will celebrate on November the 19th.
International Men's Day has the potential to become that global medium to heal our divisive world. the concept, the themes of International Men's Day are designed to give hope to the depressed persons, faith to those who are lonely, comfort to those who are sad, brokenhearted, to transcend barriers, obstacles, to eliminate stereotypes and stigmas, and to create a more caring humanity. That is the core, the essence of what International Men's Day is about.
I love that, Dr. Jerome. You know, those are beautiful and touching words. And I think men and women listening to this, and a quarter of our audience is men, actually, which I don't know if I'd shared with you, you know, which is brilliant that, you know, men are enjoying hearing women's uplifting stories. And now women will enjoy hearing your story and men's stories because of those reasons and how these last 2 years have made everybody feel the way you've described. And I think that that's really special. And the fact that it says, you know, on the website that you work with, International Men's Day encourages men to teach the boys in their lives the values, character and responsibilities of being a man, which is really important, isn't it? And I love on that website, it's the Gandhi quote, the Mahatma Gandhi quote, that said, we must become the change we seek. And that's so special too, isn't it?
It is. Because we cannot just encourage change and we have not changed. You know, we have our eccentric ways or we are living in a bad way and we expect change, you know. So the change has to come from within us. It has to come first from us before we could really encourage others to become changers.
That's so true. And it also said, it is only when we all, men and women, lead by example that we'll create a fair and safe society which allows everyone the opportunity to prosper. And that's really special for people to think about. So you are a history lecturer teaching courses at the University of the West Indies in Trinidad and Tobago, uniting the world to help men and boys. You've written numerous books. You teach on a range of incredible subjects. What does your work entail? Presumably now it's all online, is it?
Most of my teaching is online. I teach a European history course this semester and a Caribbean history course. And I think that the European history course is more interesting for the students because they spend most of their years learning about the Caribbean. So they're able to hear about, you know, England and the Industrial Revolution, able to hear about French Revolution, able to hear about these protests, you know. So it's very, very lively, you know, for the students to learn about Europe and the changes that occurred in the 19th century.
Amazing what you do. And you've written books on the subjects and focus on Afro-Caribbean activists and intellectuals, race, gender in the Caribbean. You organise conferences as well. Are you able to do that still?
I haven't been able to do any face-to-face conferences. I had small seminars, small workshops via social media, Skype or Zoom. But it's not the same, you know, where you could have a hands-on approach. So that is one of the obstacles.
So you'll be hopefully going back to that soon.
I'm hoping that by next year we can have some normal return.
Definitely. No, you've been teaching some incredible things. So with International Men's Day, it's on November the 19th.
Correct.
We want everyone to join and help celebrate this for the positive value that men bring to the world with their families and communities. Now, your theme for 2021, what is your theme this year?
The theme is creating a safe environment. However, I should mention that other men's groups and fathers' groups, they have created their own themes, their own relevant topics. Some countries might believe they want to dedicate it to men who are frontline workers during this pandemic for the last 2 years. So we have allowed freedom. It isn't really a way to say you must have this theme, you know. So we have at least two or three themes where men feel comfortable with.
Amazing. And working with all those countries. And I read that one of the themes is better relations between men and women, which is obviously so important, and well-being, which has never before been so important as now. And have you got six pillars that you focus on?
Correct. The six pillars, you know, one of the important pillars is promoting positive male role models. And when I mean positive male role models, people right within your home, right, who are living decent, honest lives, people in your community. Too often, when we think about these positive male role models, we are looking at movie stars or people in the sports world, you know, but we are looking at everyday working class men as our heroes. And the second objective is to celebrate men's positive contributions, be it in the society or the community. And it could be as simple as, you know, men who are doing volunteer work, men, husbands who might be taking care of a sick wife or a sick child. Sometimes we have stay-at-home dads. These are the positive contributions we celebrate. And thirdly, we want to focus on men's health and well-being, the physical health, spiritual health, emotional health of our men. Sometimes, as you would know, Nikki, men might feel they don't need to go to a doctor if they feel a pain. You know, they want to be a man. They want to man up. They want to be macho and, you know, ignore that pain. So this is one of the objectives, you know, to focus on our men's health. And then another objective is to highlight discrimination against males. Other people might feel that we live in a patriarchal society. Where's the discrimination? So there are incidents of discrimination in the law, in attitude, social services, and we need to try to remove that discrimination. And another important objective is to improve gender relations and promote gender equality. And people would again ask me, sometimes journalists ask me, how could we promote gender equality and why is there a need for gender equality? Because they believe that men are up there and women are down here. And I give them a good example. For the past 20 years, the United Nations and other NGOs and international bodies, they have been pushing for women's rights, making sure women are literate. And the men have tended to be ignored, neglected. They feel marginalized. They feel sidelined. And Nikki, it's very sad that if we look at the statistics for illiteracy amongst men, we would see there is an imbalance. It's disproportionate, you know, so that we now have the scales, the gender scales being in favor of women. And we now see roles being reversed. So there is a need for gender equality because the women now have moved up. And I see it even in education. You know, there are more girls graduating at universities in the Caribbean and abroad than the men.
I think that's really interesting in terms of letting men see women's perspectives and women hear men's perspectives, because largely maybe we don't recognise or understand how each other feel. And hearing you say maybe overlooked, it is a really important thing because everyone's human and have different needs. And it's just really understanding. And what you were saying about for the community, which is so important, and giving back and helping people who are less fortunate than ourselves, and really, treating people with kindness. And it's really special what you do. And that Better Health for Men strapline that you've got, and boys laughing and living better, you know, and women. So you have Movember is the month that normally everyone grows a moustache or shaves one off or everything here, raising money for men's health. Is that still a thing in November?
Yes, it has taken off, especially in England and Australia, you know, parts of Europe where men would do that. And it's a public message being sent out to. So instead of wearing a jersey or seeing ads, you know, out there.
Yes. You can have some fun with it as well, can't
you?
With
some of the people's moustache, you know,
incredible moustache growing, definitely. And I didn't realise on November the 20th that you celebrate International Children's Day and have that combination of men and children and that special relationship too. So, of course, we all deserve recognition for these different days. And in fact, you know, people have often said they've heard about International Women's Day, which we launched our podcast on International Women's Day on March the 8th. And yours was originally February, wasn't it? February the 23rd, I think it is, before it moved to November 19th. And people say, well, what about men? Where's Men's Day? And people weren't aware. And I would always, and people have said to me, you know, but where's Men's Day? Why are they promoting? And I said, well, there is a Men's Day. And actually, I always champion it. And And a lot of celebrities have got involved, haven't they? I know last year, certainly from here on British television, they had Ronan Keating and, you know, Matthew McConaughey does a lot in the States and a lot of people actually getting involved. And they were talking on a British TV, I remember last year, because I was actually in hospital on International Wednesday. And they were talking about their feelings and their moisturiser and their facial regime and things that I'd never heard on television before from men. And I thought that was fabulous.
Yeah, it is, because as you know, Nikki, and your listeners, that in the Western movies and even the movies, the action movies, the man has that tough guy image, that strong image, especially in the Westerns, to where he doesn't have pain, he doesn't need to take care of his skin, he doesn't care about ultraviolet rays. He is a giant and he is unstoppable. So I think that we are seeing now in the movies where men actually cry. They show emotions. Men are actually crying.
They are. And in fact, James Bond, I don't know if you've seen it over there yet, but the James Bond film I saw here a few weeks ago, and without revealing the plot, he actually falls in love, if we're allowed to say. And actually, that I found it really special, very romantic.
You know, even that, a simple thing of showing emotions, that men tend to be caged up. They feel showing emotions might be a sign of weakness. And again, it's the way we were socialized, the way we were brought up.
And it's so important. You need to recognize you have some bad days, some good days. If you have a bad day, maybe tomorrow's a better day. Because those conversations, open conversations, are so important, aren't they? Men do suffer in silence traditionally. And that's so wrong, isn't it?
It is, it is. And you know what is unfortunate too, is that at an early age in schools, primary schools, nurseries, kindergartens, when boys cry, they are bullied. They are called, you're a girl, you're soft. So they face this bullying when they are teenagers, when they are under 10 years.
I hadn't thought of that.
And this makes them believe that crying would make them effeminate, make them feminine.
It's all back to front, isn't it? Because actually what I loved in Iceland, they train the girls to jump off chairs and be strong, and the boys to do more crafts and cooking and to talk about their feelings. And I loved that, because even at my children's primary school, they said if there was a problem in the classroom, they'd get the girls to sit in a room together until they talked it out, and they'd give the boys more maths to forget about it. And I just thought, I don't agree with that either. I love a chat. You know, I think everyone should talk about what they feel, shouldn't they? Because this, hearing how you feel and, you know, the way you describe it and those beautiful words that you read, it is emotional, and that's powerful for women and must be powerful for men to hear you talking about this and to hopefully change how they believe and their mindset, their day, or even their life. A lot of these women have changed my life, the women I've interviewed. Some of the things they say, it really changes the way you think, doesn't it?
It is, because, Nikki, I'm telling you that over the last few years, I have seen men at the funerals of their sisters, brothers, parents, and they don't shed a tear. They have this strong face, no tears, you know, but they're crying internally. And this pent-up emotion creates the mental health issues. It creates depression. They need an outlet. Men need an outlet. We need dialogue. And I feel that our politicians need to put more money into getting counselors into schools. We need psychiatrists, psychologists in the schools.
Definitely, particularly post-pandemic, you know, with all of them, everybody's troubled. The more men and women reach out, and it's brilliant what you're doing. I love it, and the way you're talking about it.
I just want to add to that, we have many men around the world who are not publicly highlighted. I have known men who are taking care of their children who are autistic, and they are not on the front page of the news. They will never be heard of. I have known some brothers taking care of sisters who have Alzheimer's. I know brothers taking care of brothers who have Parkinson's, you know, really cancer patients. Sometimes men go to visit, do volunteer work in hospitals for mentally challenged. And these are the men, you know, we like to highlight for International Men's Day. It's not just about, you know, championing men, but trying to look at the invisible men, men who are doing good, men who might not be recognized, men who might not win trophies or medals. They might not win an Olympic medal. They might never be a hero. They might never be remembered. But we want to remember those men who are doing small, good events and making others
Yes,
brighter,
definitely.
making the lives brighter of so many people out there. And these are the people I want to champion and highlight, those men who are doing small good things to make this world a better place.
Oh, definitely. You know, and you're one of those heroes, and as are all those people you mentioned. How fantastic. So as we mentioned on the Influential Women podcast, we chat about our guests' work, their life, influences and their mantras, but also about any adversity they've overcome to offer advice to others that might help with their own personal challenges. So is there anything, obviously COVID is a huge thing and helping men and boys worldwide, but is there anything you wanted to touch on personally that you have overcome to give men a reason to keep going, that you can come back from stuff, but however hard or small, even the small things feel massive sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, I think the message I want to tell the men and also the women, and one of, and it's a personal story, is that for many years in my life, I felt I was a failure because I started to study history. And the world was moving in a direction where people were entering computers. They wanted to do an MBA. And this is what the world was. Nobody wanted to live in the past. My elders and my peers were moving into science. They were moving into business fields. So for many years, I felt inferior. For many years, I felt that I wasn't living up to the society's expectations. I didn't become a doctor. I didn't become a lawyer. I didn't become an engineer. And those are the things my friends were doing. So what I want to tell the world is that you have to find an occupation that you love. You have to find your talent, your hidden talent, your God-given talent, and use it to help others, you know, because here I am in history, but I'm doing something completely different, dealing with masculinity and gender relations, you know, and sort of as a hobby, but it has now become a passion. So I want people to take note that you cannot simply compare your life and measure it up and use others as a yardstick to see that you are less than. And I want the woman to also bear that in mind. And sometimes we compare maybe other women who might be earning a higher salary. Maybe they're involved in politics. Maybe they're there in glamour and fashion. And you wish you were that fashion. You wish you were that model. But you have to remember too that you have an important duty, an important role, an important responsibility. That could be an amazing job and a life-fulfilling role.
Oh, that's really lovely. Thank you for sharing that. Because, you know, people will hear that and look at you and think, I can't believe that Dr. Jerome, the incredible, talented, you know, educated, very clever historian, actually could ever feel inferior. But it's by hearing that, it makes people think, actually, men have imposter syndrome too. Women are very aware of it. And it's just knowing that everybody sometimes feels less than or not enough or all of those horrible things when your voice is saying in your head. And actually, yes, as you say, we all have a talent, and make it shine and be proud of it. Because, you know, I found history difficult at school only because I didn't understand it. And but I like a bit of a chat, you know, so we all do things completely differently and path takes us differently. And particularly for the young who are influenced, as you say, from very young, you know, by what other people say to them, what people think of them, and social media is mammoth about that now. So saying, you know, we're all doing our best and we all are enough, aren't we? We're all fabulous. And that's what everyone needs to feel today. So do you have any time for any hobbies or time off, swimming off the beach there?
Yeah, I like to play my cricket. I like cricket. I like football. I like going to the movies, you know. Sometimes I just like, you know, being with friends and just talking about the past. And I think that is important. That dialogue is something that we have lost, especially, you know, where we see people jogging and they have these headphones or they have their face stuck in an iPad or in the television. And I think that sometimes just sitting with a few friends and reminiscing, reflecting on the past, the good times, you know, talking about the future, discussing ideas. I think we need that.
Definitely
back into our society.
That human connection. We all miss it. And actually, we've got out of the habit of it, haven't we? By talking on screens, it's amazing. And I can talk to you in Trinidad, you know, in different time zones. It's incredible. And we'd never met before. And it's really lovely to talk to you. But that energy that you get when you're sitting in front of someone, it is really special, isn't it, that we all miss and have to be grateful for. I'm saying to people, you know, snatch those moments of joy, because that's all we can do, isn't it, in our lives at the moment.
Because I'll tell you something, Anne, and your listeners in England would appreciate it. If you go into a pub, there is a atmosphere that is filled with laughter and joy and happiness. And I think that's why people in England wanted the restrictions off and they wanted the pubs open. They miss that human connection, because that is part of being human, you know?
That's so true. Because the silence was really, really quite disturbing. You know, when the shops were empty and the streets were empty, it was really not a nice feeling, was it? And actually, even now, when we hear things that we used to be grumpy about, you know, and loads of noise, when we think they're having fun, good for them. Yes, what the heck? Yeah, exactly. So do you have a mantra for how you live your life then?
I think my main mantra is appreciate every day. Appreciate every day, you know, be thankful for every moment. And this COVID has made us realize how short life is and how unpredictable life is. And it has, you know, made that mantra so important for me. Appreciate every moment. You're not sure, you know, when you could get a heart attack, when you could go out and have an accident, you know, when you could realize you're diagnosed with something incurable illness. So we have to appreciate every moment, you know, and be thankful. There are so many people who will not have witnessed today. They might have died last night. So many people might end up wake up tomorrow morning around the world. You know, so many people in hospitals, you know, are fighting for their lives. So we need to appreciate every moment, you know, and appreciate every day. It is a blessing, you know.
That is so true. And that has taught all generations and all ages, hasn't it? That, and really to find the joy in every day. And I totally agree with you. And to, you know, to make memories, find the magic. And it's not about money. It's just about friendship, you know, love, you know, actually finding something that's just special, that uplifts you, isn't it, every day. And you're right, tomorrow isn't promised to any of us. It's awful to think like that. And in fact, one of the counsellors that I interviewed on a previous podcast, a trauma counsellor, she said, if you think about life in terms of the number of years that you might live for, project to, you know, 75, 80, and how many Sundays, if you work out 52 weeks, and how many Sundays you've got left. And you suddenly think, gosh, that's an awful thing. And I was telling my son in the car this morning, actually. And you suddenly think, isn't that awful? Because you think, gosh, actually, if it's only X number of years times 52, and it's only however many Sundays, you think, that's not many. So you need to actually make the most of it now, because that isn't that many, is it? In terms of... And he said, oh, no, that's an awful way to think like that, or whatever. And I said, but is it? Because it makes you actually realise how precious every Sunday or every moment is. And it was just an interesting perspective from different ages. So what other key message of hope? I mean, you've given us so many today. It's been really beautiful and lovely to talk to you. But last message that you'd give to inspire and influence men or women listening, obviously to celebrate on November the 19th, but any lasting message to just say how to feel and think?
I think, you know, on this day, November the 19th, I want people to realize that we have to put aside our differences. We have to realize that, and I've been telling people this, that Men's Day is not just about putting aside if you're a man or a woman, but you have to go one step further to realize, let's put aside ethnic differences, religious differences, geographical differences. Let's put aside nationality differences, because a lot of times we have created divisions. So I've realized that for Men's Day, the barriers facing men are also the barriers facing women. The same ethnic and problems we face and religious problems, you all face it as women too. And we need, you know, as humans, to put aside these differences we have created, and put aside them and see each other as human beings. And the moment we connect as human beings, I think that those differences will dissolve and go away. A simple thing like rich and poor, and you would know in England, status and your surname tells a lot. You know, if you're an upper class or middle class or the working class, it says a lot in England, you know. Or if you have a title, like you are Sir, or if you're a dame, or you got a queen's award and you have CBE or OBE behind your name, that distinguishes you from somebody else, but you're still a human being. And I think that I think we need to realize it doesn't matter what you have in front of your name, behind your name, or what religion you are, or what ethnicity, we are human beings. And that is the philosophy that I've also been trying to promote. It's not just a gender day, but trying to find out how we could get rid of these barriers.
Yes. And you've got all of that expertise, you know, learning from history as to look at the future and say, how can we make it better and make a difference? And I think you've certainly done that. And you've done that today with your beautiful words and your fabulous mission. And I wish you good luck on November the 19th. And we will be flying your flag from women to join forces with you and say, we can help men, men can help women, we can all together feel better in this post-pandemic world and make the world literally a better place and all be happier and kinder and enjoy every moment, as you say. So thank you so much for sharing your amazing life, your amazing work, for raising awareness to celebrate men and to unite men and boys and women and girls together. We thank you, encourage everyone to celebrate, and wish everyone a happy International Men's Day on 19th November 2021. This week's Influential Women's Podcast is hosted, founded and presented by exec producer Nikki Bannerman with assistant producer Dulcie Godfrey. Fond thanks to our team of previous producers, including Safran Mirza and co-founder Juliet Nichols. Please follow and message us on Twitter at Influential Pod or Instagram Influential_Women_Podcast on Insta, and subscribe, share and binge on our podcasts and join our tribe of influential men and women and listen out for International Men's Day. Thank you so much, Dr. Jerome T-Lux Singh. I love that name. And for talking to you in Trinidad, and really good luck to you with everything else. And thank you so much for your time today. It was really special.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.